I'm Leah.
I'm Lena.
And this is Feather and Fang. Let's talk.
So what we're talking about is the reason why things have not and will not change in the way that people are expecting them to, or the way that people want them to, because at the end of the day, everybody is afraid of what?
Dying.
Exactly. So that keeps us from doing anything. Because I was talking, what the conversation was I was talking about how before, like when I was younger, I could just get up and go. Remember? You remember now?
Yes.
I could just get up and go at any point in time without without any thought or rhyme or reason, because I didn't have anything to be fearful for. Not saying I'm fearful, because I'm not, but I have like people to take care of. And so when you start changing your priorities like that, it's actually adding a layer of fear into it. Because people don't do the revolution, or they don't, you know, step out, and we'll take this to a Bible stance. They don't step out in faith because what they're actually afraid of at the end of the day is dying. It's not that they're afraid of, I can't even use examples because it all leads back to that same fear. That's the seed, is death. When really, if you're a true believer, you shouldn't be afraid of dying whatsoever. You should never be afraid of dying.
Because dying just brings you back to God.
Dying, you get to go home if you die.
Death is life.
But we go to work, because if we don't go to work, we don't make money. And we're afraid if we don't make money, we're not going to have food. And we're afraid if we don't have food, we're going to die. We go to work and we make money because we're afraid of losing our place to stay. And if we lose our place to stay, we're going to die. We go to work and we make money to buy clothes for ourselves because we're afraid that, you know, if we don't have clothes, we're going to die, or we're going to get judged, or somebody's going to see our shame. It's all rooted in fear. The motivation for humanity at this state and time, and it's been this way for quite some time, is fear. And that is the one thing that will always hold humanity back, because the higher ups, the 1%, 2%, 3%, whatever, have embedded this layer of fear into us that we just can't shake. Because I was talking about, like, we'll say, we even looked it up. I can't remember the exact number, but there's upwards of 7 billion people on this earth. And the people that control this earth are minuscule. 1-2% of that. If we all stop being so afraid of what the higher ups will do,
true,
then things would actually change. But we don't, because we have that embedded fear of dying.
It's giving Pharaoh with the Israelites.
Exactly. Follow me,
or you'll die.
Or I'll kill you. Do what I say or you'll die. When really, the proper response for that is, so I get to go home because I'm doing what I know is right. I'm not following your law, I'm following God's law.
I think it was Paul that said, it's better to fear God than man.
Yes. It's always better to fear God than man. But he wasn't talking about that kind of fear, though. He was talking about having reverence and respect for God.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Being afraid and being fearful in the Bible are two separate things. But that is a good point, though. We put so much faith and so much weight into what other humans have to say or do that we completely forget what we're supposed to actually be doing. Because if we actually just threw away all of those fears, we would get whatever profession, not a job, but the profession that we want. We would be doing what we wanted to do with our lives. But instead, we have this embedded fear that if we actually just do what we want, we're not going to get anything in return for it. But if what you're wanting to do is in line with what God wants you to do, he's going to make a way. I used to just be able to literally get in my car and just drive. And I always had gas. I always had food. I always had somewhere to stay, even if it was in my car. I always had what I needed. Because at that point, I was supposed to be acting on that nomad spirit and having these experiences, because it would have brought me here. Everything that we do in life has brought us to this exact moment. But what if...
What if? I'm hearing you out.
What if we took away all that fear that veered us off our path on the way?
Mm-hmm.
How much quicker would we have gotten to the destination?
Is giving... You saying that kind of reminds me of when the Israelites finally made it out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
They crossed the river. Sorry, the Red Sea. They crossed the Red Sea. And what should have taken, what, took 2 weeks?
A couple weeks, yeah.
Took, what, 40 years?
Yeah. Because they literally let fear overcome them. They let fear distract them from what God was actually telling them and what they were actually seeing, because these were like visual miracles back then. It wasn't just hearsay. It wasn't just reading the Bible. It wasn't just hoping that you are paying attention enough to see the miracles. It was pillars of fire falling from the sky.
A giant cloud of smoke, yeah, in the day.
It was manna falling from the sky and water coming out of rocks. But they are so fearful for what was going to happen next. Here, we'll even go deeper than that. Mm-hmm. When they finally made it to the Promised Land, right?
Ha, yes.
There were giants there and giant animals. A couple of scouts went out, came back with grapes, like huge grapes.
Imagine a grape the size of your own body.
Right. And because they were so afraid, because they had so much fear and they were so afraid of the unknown, that they didn't go in.
They ended up missing out on it.
Okay, but what if...
And hearing you out.
What if the giants were there, right?
Mm-hmm.
To show them how to deal with the land. Because if the humans are huge, then the animals are going to be huge.
And there's, like, what? Millions of them? All in one space?
What if God left them there in the Promised Land, because that was their promised land. What if God left that race of giants there to guide them so they didn't get eaten? Something that simple. But instead, they just sat at the gates, basically, waiting.
Ooh.
It could have completely been like the Pilgrims and the Native Americans, where the Native Americans are like, hey, we're going to show you how to work this land.
Like, you're dying, but we're going to show you how to survive this.
And they did. What if it was that same kind of situation? We'll never know, because they were so fearful of the unknown and of something that was different, something that was outside of their comfort zone, that they missed out on a generation of blessings. Not just a blessing.
That was a whole generation.
A whole generation.
It. Ooh, that sucks. Yeah.
Even Moses. Moses was he supposed to speak to the rock the second time?
He was supposed to speak to the rock.
The second time.
He struck it because he was irritated with
it. He struck it because he was irritated because his people were getting on him because they were so full of fear that was starting to rub off on him. And he was so fearful of losing that control, and this is where I'm leading into that. He was so fearful of losing the control and the leadership role that he had gotten used to. And so he got frustrated and struck the rock instead, thereby giving away his ticket to the Promised Land. Moses didn't even make it into the Promised Land because he was so fearful. It's all rooted in fear. Even the first sin that we've talked about, which was pride, which was Lucy. Pride is a sense of control where you don't actually have control.
That'll do it.
And people act out in that because they're so afraid of losing said control. And that's what Lucy did. He started getting all crazy.
Like, here's my thing. Like, how do you start fearing that you're going to lose control that you never had?
Because that's a false sense of control, basically. It's a false sense of control. Because God will let you have something. as long as it's in line with him. Like, we'll take it back to Moses. Moses was able to lead the people out of Egypt and across the desert for 40 years, mind you, but they did live hundreds of years. So 40 years, that's really not that much. And they looked to him. Mm-hmm. And Moses was granted access to God. Couldn't look at him straight on, of course, but he was still granted that access. So when you start getting these privileges, like Lucy, who is the most beautiful, and amazing sounds came out of him because he was the angel of music, you start getting comfortable in that role of feeling special, when really you're just a one body part in the body of Christ. You're just one body part. No body part is more important than the other.
That makes me think of, and I'm not knocking anybody in a position in the church, pastors, when they realize that it's time for them to retire and they start acting an entire fool. They start saying anything out of the side of their neck. They start talking down to the people of God because they realize that they're about to lose. They're about to give up something that they've had for 10 years, 20 years, 15 years. And they realize they'll no longer be in that position anymore to be able to speak to their people. When all reality, they still have the power to speak to their people. They're just not in that position anymore.
Yeah. Because, and people put so much weight in that title, in that licensing. Because you have to go to school, you got to do X, Y, and Z to get it.
That just seems blah, like blah, blah.
It's so overkill and so unnecessary. And I'm not knocking it. If that's what you want to do, if that's what you feel God has called you to do, so be it. However, it is completely unnecessary. And I'll say that again. It's completely unnecessary to have a license to spread the word of God.
There's a whole lot of people in the Bible that had no licensing.
None of them did. Besides the Sadducees and the Pharisees.
And we saw how they acted when the word literally pulled up and started spitting.
But saying that you have to have some kind of like qualifications is basically saying that the disciples
were not qualified to do their job. When Jesus himself qualified them with his very words.
And if you look at history, they were the most fearless. Yes, they had their moments because they were human. But all but, what, two of them were crucified just like Jesus was. They all went through that fearlessly. Because they had that level of faith.
They were ready for that smoke.
They knew it was coming. And we should all be expecting it in this day and age. They knew it was coming. And they looked at it and they said, I'm still going to believe what I know to be true. Fearlessly. Like, yeah, they probably had fear, but they still didn't stop.
Their fear didn't knock their faith.
Exactly. And we were talking about this the other day. You can look at, I'll say, 9 out of 10 devout Christians, when faced with these kinds of things, will falter. And I know that's harsh, but it's the truth because of that fear. Because everything is rooted in a fear of death. But if you're a believer in Christ, why are you afraid of death? It makes absolutely no sense. We contradict ourselves.
I think we're... Okay. I hear you. But speaking from a human perspective, because we all know you eat human.
Okay.
The idea of pain being inflicted is what scares us.
That's temporary.
It is temporary. However, being in these human bodies, it seems like it will last a lifetime. Because I'm not putting any kind of pain that anybody could go through. I'm not going to even try to compare that to Jesus. However, what could be like a 5-minute torture session and then we get to go home to glory. He went through that for 6 hours, and he was in a human body. Scientifically speaking, I don't think the human body is able to handle that kind of pain for real,
okay, but
for 6 hours.
Yeah, we pass out.
Exactly.
And wake up in heaven.
This is true.
Okay, but on that, and I get what you're saying, but on that same token, a lot of humans do things purposely that cause them pain.
This is true.
And they find pleasure in it.
This is very true.
Okay, well then that takes it out. You know what the actual fear is? The actual fear is that little sliver of doubt that says that there's nothing there.
Elaborate.
That little sliver of doubt that is in the back of most people's minds that says that once you die,
it's God, just nothingness.
God's not there.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Even I've had those moments.
We've all had those moments.
I've had those moments.
But that's the enemy trying to plant those seeds. And either you completely just kick it out of your mind, or you let it linger there. And if you let it linger there, you're going to be afraid of death.
Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm. It's always the seed. It's that
There's
seed.
Always a seed. If you can find that seed in your own mind and pluck it out from the roots and get rid of it and realize that there is something there, that fear of death is gone. But it's that what if that gets embedded in all of our minds throughout our childhoods normally, because we all hear that one person who's going to say something out of the side of their neck. And you could be the most devout Christian, but you're going to hear somebody, and it's usually somebody you respect, or somebody in your family, or a friend, or something. Someone you know. See, you see the pattern and the tactic? It's going to be someone you know, or even someone you love, or your spouse, or whatever, who's going to get upset about something and talk out of the side of their neck and say there's nothing after, and there's the seed. And you're going to let it sit there because you have respect for that person, or because you love that person, or because that person has said very intelligent things before.
So maybe they have a point.
And you're not going to get rid of it. And now you're afraid of death. Because what if?
And it happens so fast.
So fast.
It happens so fast.
Yeah. It could be on a TV show even. And now you're afraid of death.
That's why they say protect your eye gates, protect your ear gates. Mm-hmm.
Because now you're afraid of death. And now when God tells you to do something, you're like, well,
what if it kills me?
What if this? Yeah. What if I lose my job and I can't do X, Y, and Z, and then I'm out on the street and I die? Or, you know, I can't feed my kid and they die. Like, it always goes back to a fear of death. But if you know where you're going and you know who you are and whose you are, there would be no fear.
I'm convinced that if you could put it on a shirt, it would be what if equals death.
What if everything in the Bible is 100% true? Why can't we have that what if seed?
Ooh. Ooh, that's good. That's very good.
I'm just saying, though. We put so many what ifs in the negatives.
What if everything that comes out of the mouth of God is true? Because God is not a man that he should lie, and his word doesn't come back void. Mm-hmm. So if everything he says doesn't come back void, what if everything in his word is true?
What if the Bible is the most studied piece of literature in the entire history of humanity? And it is more often than not proven as true. What if? But people forget about that.
This is true.
Because what I just said was a fact. A well-known, documented fact.
Have I mentioned how much I love your noggin?
And yet we don't want to believe it. It's a willful ignorance. It's a willful doubt. We don't want to believe it. Because now we're being held accountable for our actions. Mm. What if I'm doing all this for nothing? Well, then I can do this and that's fine. I can do that and that's fine.
It makes everything permissible. The what ifs makes everything that you already know. Mm-hmm. The what if almost gives you permission to say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do A, B, and C. Because what if? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like, I'm just like her. She's going to do whatever she's going to try to do whatever she wants. Because what if I don't get caught?
Or what if nobody says anything?
Yeah.
If nobody says anything, it's permissible.
It makes no sense, does it?
It doesn't make any sense.
But that's how people live their lives.
If anything, it's kind of infuriating. So yeah. I understand. But I get, that's I understand
exactly that. How people live their lives, though. Isn't that insane?
If there's no immediate consequences.
Yeah. But if you're not repenting and you're not born again, there is an accounting of what you're doing wrong. Just because you don't get caught right there doesn't mean that you're never going to have to account for what you're doing. Now, when you're born again, yes, you're washed in the blood and your sins are paid for. But if you're not, that debt is still there.
This
you
is
still
true.
Have to pay for it.
This is true.
Somebody this, has to pay for it.
Okay, but hear me. But like, listen, this is not saying that there isn't, there's no accountability for it. There is still going to be an accountability of every action that you made out of the will of God. Mm-hmm. Because you could have lived 80 years on this earth, but only lived 17 minutes for God.
Right, but those 17 minutes covered you.
This is very true.
This is I'm very talking true. About people who go home to glory and never come to Jesus. They have to answer for that. And a lot of their argument is that there's nothing after death. They're counting on that.
That is their foundation. There's yeah. nothing afterwards.
You can't have nothing as your foundation. A house built on sand
is going to crumble. Exactly. It's going to fall. Exactly. And you dying in your sin is your house crumbling.
Right. Because your house is your soul. But then we go on the other hand, and people who are believers still have that level of fear, and that makes them fearful. Because they know what the possibility is, but there's that level of what if. And that's where the fear of death comes from. What if there's nothing? That's the lie that Lucy told us. We know damn well that there is something. We know that there is something.
We know there's something. Because it's... I've been Shorty there. Got kicked out of it.
Shorty got kicked out of it, and I've been there. I know there's something. That's why you can't convince me that there's nothing. I will literally die on that hill, and I will see you up on Sinai, man, because... I know there's something. Death holds no fear for me. I'm looking forward to it, as morbid as that sounds, because...
That is so dark.
I know it is, but it's so dark. It sounds dark, but it's not. I'm looking forward to being reconciled with my Creator. I'm looking forward to stripping away this fleshly suit.
I thought you were going to call it a dirt suit.
This dirt suit, yes. I'm looking forward to not feeling any depression or anger or stress or anxiety or any of those bad feelings that aren't from God. I'm looking forward to those days.
That sounds so beautiful.
Does it not?
It sounds so nice.
Then why would you even doubt it?
Because we're continuously giving God problem people, God people problems.
Yeah. Because people have let us down. And people have lied to us.
This person that did this to me 15 years ago, that is the reason why I don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
Or I believe and I continuously disobey. Because what if?
Because I went to church. I went to church faithfully and religiously for 15 years, and then they hurt my feelings. So what if God does the same thing?
Yeah. It's kind of like one of those moments where you want to turn into, like, that old Baptist grandmother. And it's just like, you woke up this morning, didn't you?
Right.
Like, if you woke up this morning, you can't wake up by yourself.
You can't. Because it's literally your soul that keeps your body in motion. And literally your soul came from God.
It's literally a little piece.
It's a little piece, a tiny piece of Abba that he decided to let you borrow. And he eventually does want it back, because I can only imagine how little pieces of you roaming everywhere would feel. So he definitely is looking forward to the reconciliation, but he decided that you get to do this one more day.
Imagine God having an itch and just being like, where is the itch? Oh, yeah, that's right. There's a part of me and it's down there and it's moving.
Right.
You know? Just like, I really wish.
My itch is in Iceland right now. I don't know.
No, but that makes sense, though. That makes a lot of sense.
Doubt is rooted in fear.
There is no fear in love.
Hatred is rooted in fear.
Anger is rooted in fear.
It's all rooted in fear. Once you can get rid of fear,
everything else just melts.
Because fear kills faith. And faith is what?
Trust.
The substance.
Of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
You don't have to see it to know it's there.
I mean, the ones who do get to see it, awesome. We love that for you. Please, tell us stories. Maybe I love me a good story. I love a good story, okay?
But it's all about perspective, though. It might be unseen to one person, but completely evident to another person.
This is also true.
Mm-hmm.
This is also true.
That's why it's important to tell our testimonies. Or to spread the word and not be afraid about it. Not be afraid about how somebody else is going to feel about it. Because you could be talking to 100 people and offend 99 of them, but then there's that one.
Okay, hear us out, though. That doesn't mean go and be obnoxious about it, either.
I didn't say be obnoxious, because delivery is very important.
That part. Like, you can't just go walking up to people and just be like, you're going out! Like, don't do that. Don't do that.
Well, that's not rooted in love.
It's not.
What you would do is go up to somebody and be like, this amazing thing happened to me today.
Like, just give them a quick story.
Yeah.
Story time.
This amazing thing happened to me today where I had my evaluation to be able to go hybrid at work. And I was super stressed out about what tars I was going to pull open in front of my supervisor. And God put the easiest tars possible in front of me that day. And I only had one trouble call out of, I think, the 10 that I took. And it was super quiet and super chill for my evaluation. How amazing is God? That I was so stressed out. And he stepped in that moment and just calmed the whole situation.
He really did say, peace be still, though.
He did. And we say that to each other every morning. Peace be still in Jesus' name.
Depending on how that weekend goes, how that weekend went, it's just like, please.
It's something so simple as just telling somebody how good God is. It doesn't, you don't have to bring up fire and brimstone or damnation or nothing, because
please don't.
Once you're saved, that's not a what if anymore.
It shouldn't be a what if anymore.
It's not a what if. Not shouldn't be.
It's not a what if.
Your debt is paid. It's not a free ticket.
Yeah, you still gotta go get that, but...
You still gotta go get it. You still gotta keep it.
You know?
You can't give it away.
You can't lose it, but you could definitely...
You can't act like a fool either, because you're still gonna have to repent and answer for things.
Like, why did you slap her? She was getting on my nerves. That's not...
Don't do that.
That's not how we act, child.
That's not how we conduct ourselves. But... what if... instead of preaching all these things that we should be afraid of, just preaching the good things. And I'm not talking about prosperity preaching for the love of all humanity.
Please, no.
But I'm talking about love.
Prosperity teaching is a whole lot more detrimental than people think it is.
Prosperity teaching is very dangerous. And it gives people... It's a lot of false teaching, we'll just say that.
I was about to say, nah, go into it. That's a whole...
That's a different conversation, maybe next time.
Yeah.
But what if we started comforting people in their fear with the love of God instead? What if we started helping everybody that we came in contact with find that seed and rip it out?
By the roots.
So that... eventually, none of us are rooted in fear.
Can you imagine what would happen if nobody was fearful?
Exactly, and that's the whole point of the conversation. That's the whole point of the conversation. What if humans as a whole stop being so afraid of the people who tell us that we should be afraid?
What if God's people stop being afraid of Pharaoh?
Yeah. What if we walked out of Egypt? What if we walked out of Egypt and left the doubt behind and didn't have to wander the wilderness?
For 40 years. Because again, what's supposed to take 2 weeks took 40 years. Fear and doubt is what turned the 14 days into 40 years.
Fear, doubt, pride. That is the downfall of humanity. That's always been the downfall of humanity. Because you can look at anything. Any of these crazy stories from history, the Bible and, you know, other written history combined. It's all rooted in one of those three things. Fear, doubt, pride.
So if we were to change that, fear, doubt, pride, would it be fearless, faith, love,
humility,
long-suffering,
kindness,
fruit of the spirit?
There you go.
Oh.
There's a secret.
If we start living the fruit of the Spirit instead of just knowing what the fruit of the Spirit is, there would be a shift in the atmosphere that would be so intense that I bet even Dad was gonna would be like, what?
He would be so proud of his kids. He'd be like,
yay, I don't have to go get them yet. Babies. Like, rapture today. No, you got this.
Not yet.
Like, we could postpone that for another 1,000 years.
The fruit of the Spirit is the secret. Because if you act in the fruit of the Spirit, and you actually believe it, not just acting upon it, but actually believing it, that's the secret.
Is one thing to hear, is another thing to listen. To listen is to do.
It's an action. Just like love. But if we all retrained our minds to act in said manner, to conduct ourselves accordingly. Even if we didn't change the world, we would change our world.
This is true.
And we would be a happier people. We would be a peaceful people. We would be more like Jesus.
That would be so beautiful.
Wouldn't it?
It would be so beautiful.
It would.
It's so absolutely beautiful.
But we're too afraid. We're too afraid of what we might miss out on, or what we might lose, or what people might think.
I think that's the main thing. Mm-hmm. What people might think.
That's a huge part of it, yeah.
Because there are people that's just like, there are people that would totally agree with you. And then when you're just like, you know what, okay, bet, you agree with me, we're of the same mind, let's do something about it. And they're just like, you're crazy. It's just like, wait.
Am I crazy?
Exactly. Another seed.
Oh no, they think I'm crazy. But I want them to be my friend, so maybe I won't do that anymore.
But what did Dad say? What did God say?
Well, yeah, I know what he said, but I don't want people to think I'm weird.
Okay, but what did Dad tell you to do? Did he tell you to care about what they said? Was that part of the MO, the main objective? Was that part of the memo he gave? No? Okay.
No, that was part of man's agenda.
And I'm guilty of this. And I'm guilty of it.
We're all guilty at one point in time. But that's why I just don't care about what humans have to think about me anymore.
Can you stop saying humans like you are? No, because
that's the way it is.
I get that, but like, I know you are not human portraying as human. Would you make it like sound like like it tastes so weird coming out your mouth?
Styrofoam. No, but for real though,
you are the one person in my life that I've ever met that is just like, Dad told me to do this. I know Dad told me to do this. I heard him tell me to do this. I'm gonna do this. Okay. I don't care if you think I'm weird. I didn't say nope. I could feel it. Okay. I'm gonna do it. Are you coming with me? That's the question.
It's always a question.
Are you coming with me? Because if not, let go of
that fear.
True. Like, are you coming with me? Because if you're coming with me, we go together. And if not,
Unfortunately.
Hopefully I'll see you there.
That's unfortunately the way it should be. And it sucks to be that way. Because I've had to leave behind a lot of people.
As am I.
Like, I really hope I see you there. I'll be waiting. But I'm not going to wait for you. I have to go.
I feel like obedience is part of that fearlessness, too.
Yeah. Obedience is the ultimate act of fearlessness. Because most of the time, 9 times out of 10 with God, you have no idea where you're going. You're just going.
And if you do know where you're going, you have no idea how you're going to get there.
You have no idea how you're going to get there, or what's going to happen after you get there, or along the way, or
when you're going to get there.
You just know that Dad told you you're going to get there.
You're just like, okay, cool. And he's just like, you're going to have to wait for me. Like, I'm waiting. Well, go now. Like, wait, what?
And that's why, I know with all the things that are going on in the country right now, that's why I don't get involved. Because this is going to sound really harsh, but I'm not going to put myself in jeopardy and get knocked off of my path when I know that it's not going to change because people still have the same fear, just a different day.
Hmm. Same fear, different day.
It is. And that's why nothing has changed over the millennia.
Because it's been the same exact thing, the same exact fear, just served on a different plate.
Yeah. And yes, there are people out there causing a ruckus, and more power to them.
Go for it. Love it. Be smart about it.
But honestly, is it more than just a blurb on the news? Is it more than just a funny TikTok?
Hmm. Is it more than just a reel on Instagram?
If it comes to it in my lifetime, where the mark appears itself, and I'm given that choice, that's when I will stand up for what I believe in. Because all this other stuff doesn't matter.
I mean, it makes sense.
There's a time and a place. And yeah, if you were called to cause a ruckus, go for it. I was not. I'm a watchman. I'm not meant to be in the middle of the crowd.
Honestly, I feel like your body would be the one to just be like, stop the... Ah, my back!
Yeah.
You know?
I would be walking towards, like, a protest, and my back would seize up, and I couldn't walk anywhere. That's how God has to stop me sometimes. He's like, you're done walking for the day. Go lay down. Okay, cool. Cool.
But, okay, you can't even say that, because you'll have yourself be hard-headed sometimes. Your back will seize, and you'll just be like, I am not gonna lay down, because I've got stuff to do.
Oh, like, I know. Trust me.
And like, here's
something that I haven't told you that happens sometimes.
Oh.
If I'm about to go do something mm-hmm. that I really shouldn't be doing, mm-hmm. and it hasn't happened in a while because I've gotten a lot better at not being so
hard-headed.
Derp. Yeah.
Love that.
My whole body will start shaking.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Not like the shimmy shakes.
No,
it's like, but like tremors.
Like an anxiety attack type.
No.
Oh. Like
uncontrollable, my whole body will start shaking.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice to know.
And that's usually the, and honestly, that's usually like a fork in the road for me. Like, I could go home and mind my own damn business, probably eat a snack and take a nap.
Okay, Elijah.
Or I could keep going and something bad is probably going to happen. And it's going to affect me in a negative way. It's only happened maybe 5 or 6 times in my life, my entire life. But I've grown to recognize that. Like, I'll be driving, going, like, meet somebody or go somewhere, and my whole body will just start shaking uncontrollably. And I'm like, okay.
Maybe not.
I'm gonna go home now.
See, if I'm driving, my car, when I was gonna go do something stupid, my car broke down on me.
This is true.
In the middle of the interstate.
This is true.
And here's the thing. I kept going. My car broke down, and I pulled off the ramp. And I called the person that I was going to meet up with. And he came to pick me up. And we was going to go chill. And he pulled my car over to the side of the road. And we was going to go get oil because my car needed oil. Every single car shop, like AutoZone, O'Reilly's, anyone you could think of, none of them had the oil I needed. None of them. Miraculously, none of them had it.
Yep.
But the minute I got back in my car and decided I'm going to go home because obviously this is a bad idea, it started up, no issues. Mm-hmm. I got back to my hometown. I was good. I stopped by the shop in my hometown to get some oil. All the oil I could ever need.
Yep.
So, yeah. There's always signs before you do something stupid.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, dad, Abba is like a dad. He is a dad.
He is the dad. He's the dad of all dads.
He's the ultimate pops. He's the one that's just like, I'm not going to throw a shoe at you. yet I'm just gonna throw the laces at you. Then I'm gonna throw the whole soul.
Shoe rack at you.
No, for real. But again, that was the fear talking, because fear of missing out.
Yeah. What are they gonna say? They're gonna think, like, I'm lame.
They're gonna think I'm a wuss. They're gonna think this. They're gonna talk smack about me. Who cares?
As long as I know what Dad thinks about me, I don't care what other people think about me. Like, some things that people say, yeah, I'll get a little hype for maybe an hour or so.
You really will, though.
I'll get hype, and then I'm like, you know what?
You'll, like, rage talk for, like, a solid hour, and then it just be like, and done. It's almost like, and scene. Anyway.
Well, because I have to process the emotion and let it out so that I'm not just holding on to it. And then once it's out, I'm like, whatever. I'm going to just move on from this because that was stupid, but whatever.
You're Hakuna Matata.
No, for real.
But see, that's what also comes with fear. No fear. Hakuna Matata literally means no worries. If you have no worries, you have no fear. Mm-hmm. Lion King was on to something.
A lot of those old cartoons were on to something. We didn't listen, though.
We just thought they were cartoons.
Yep.
We just thought they were fun and goofy and colorful. Mm-hmm. Shiny. We just saw the shiny. We didn't see the message in the shiny.
We gotta stop being so afraid. We gotta stop being afraid to tell each other no.
Say it again?
We gotta stop being so afraid to tell each other no. And you're gonna hurt people's feelings. And you're gonna ruffle feathers. You're gonna step on toes. You're gonna lose people. But if you lose people so easily by just saying one word to them,
no,
they were never yours to begin with.
Very true.
Because we waste so much time being afraid of what other people are going to think about us that we miss out. Because you're wasting a bunch of time with one person and there's like 50 people just waiting for you. But we're so afraid
of losing
this one person who's more than likely, in Tesla's theory, an unmovable spirit.
Ooh.
Who's not hearing you. Who's actually waiting for somebody else that God's going to send behind you that might be able to reach them. You're wasting all this time with this one person and you've missed 50. Because you're afraid. Fear. It will hold you back 100% every time.
I could hear this question coming from a mile away. What about going after the one? We're not saying don't go after the one, but if that one is no longer heeding to what God is saying through you, sometimes your job is to plant the seed.
Exactly, and the person behind you will come and water it. Jesus told the disciples when he sent them out two by two, go and preach the gospel, and if they will not receive you, what? Brush the dust off your sandals and keep moving.
Keep going, don't look back.
Because when you don't do that, you're actually meeting that person where they are.
And that defeats the whole purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That defeats the whole purpose
mm-hmm.
of doing what you were called to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's stooping to their level because they want you to be stuck in the mire with them.
Yep. They want you to set up camp in that valley.
Like, don't set up camp.
Don't do it.
Don't do that. I know the ground might look soft. It's not soft.
It's actual marsh.
It's really marsh. And marsh is wet. In it. Not the gators.
There's gators in it.
The marsh is Florida. Sorry, Florida.
Sorry, not sorry.
Racist. Anyway. No, but you're absolutely right. They want you to get stuck in the same situation. And then here's the thing. You get stuck in the same situation with them, and then you're wondering, what is wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why am I feeling like this? Why does everything seem to be so chaotic for me now when 6 months ago it wasn't so chaotic for me? 3 months ago, a week ago, 2 days ago.
It's because you made the decision who the one was, and you didn't let God send the one to you or send you to the one. You saw 100 and you're like, that's the one. And God's like, actually, the one's over there. Okay, they're gone.
Like, just give them a minute.
We'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. It's fine. I'll be here. I'll be here waiting.
Mm-hmm. Just like, when you come back, we can keep it moving. I'll be here.
Oh, they're setting up camp. They're making s'mores. Cool.
Great. Awesome. Love it.
They're singing Kumbaya. I love it. It's great.
Okay. Holy Spirit, can you, like, go talk to them already? Okay.
No, now they're crying. Okay. Well, now we gotta do some healing.
Awesome.
Cool, cool, cool.
Great. Oh, look, they're coming back. Hi, welcome back. How did that go for you? I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I bet you didn't. Now, what did we learn?
Right. What did we learn?
Don't do that, okay? I'm not going to do it no more. Yeah, I know.
It's always so obvious. We call it, as humans, we call it red flags. And that's not just romantic interest. That's just
people in general.
Yeah.
In situations in general.
Well, there's always red flags. There's always red flags.
There really is. There's always a red flag somewhere. Yeah. If you take time to look at a situation.
There's a red flag somewhere. You got green flag or a red flag. There if are you got only a two yellow, flags.
I mean, there might be a yellow flag up in there. There's no yellow flags up in there. That was toxic.
Right there. She said there might be a yellow flag.
There might be a yellow flag.
That's toxic. No, there's a green flag or a red flag.
I'm still a person that tries to fix everything. You can't do that. I can't fix everything.
Nope. How'd that work out for you?
Meh. It's not. It doesn't work.
It made the healing process take a little bit longer.
This is so true. It's not the best feeling in the world. Let's go with that. I, 10 out of 10, would not recommend it.
Yeah, but once you realize it and let it go.
That's the best feeling ever.
That's some good stuff.
Granted, the letting go part might be a little bit, it might be uglier than, like, how you got there, but.
That would be another good way to describe when Abba reached in my heart and healed that part. That letting go of trauma. When you finally actually let it go, that relief, that breath of relief, where you just take like a, that first time you took a deep breath and you're like, I haven't been breathing.
Yeah, that was strange.
I was like, you're a shallow breather. How about you take a deep breath? Like
I don't know how to do that. Didn't I cry?
You cried.
I cried.
You did.
I was such a crybaby. And that's okay. I know Dad is just like, again. I mean, no. Not like that, but I love you, sweetheart. I love you too, Dad.
The crying is healing. He's always happy when you do.
This is true.
He's like, oh, she done healed another wound. Look at that.
That's my babe.
That's my baby. Thanks, Dad.
Look, Dad, the wound on my arm done healed up. I know, I saw. That's a gnarly scar. It'll go away.
Exactly. Yeah, the breath, she didn't know if she was holding for sure. That's how it is when you start healing and you start letting go of fear. Every time you let go of, like, a certain fear, you get to take a deeper breath.
That part.
That's probably why I use, like, 115% of my lung capacity.
116.
Is it 16?
Oh, 116.
116% of my lung capacity because I just be letting go of fear.
Because honestly, I didn't know that was a thing until you said something and I'm like, oh.
Why, did you Google it?
No, I didn't Google it.
You usually Google stuff.
I mean, I probably did Google it.
Probably. You're like, that's not real. Oh.
That's real. I didn't know that was possible.
I've got mutant lungs. because I'm fearless.
I love that for you.
Take a deep breath.
Can you control lightning and thunder too?
Maybe one day.
Oh my goodness, that's gonna be terrifying.
I don't want to be in charge of that though.
That seems like a lot.
I'd rather be in charge of the sunset.
Aww.
Me and Bob Ross, we can tag team.
Just like, did you put purple over there? I was about to put purple over there, but you didn't put purple over there yet.
Some, put some birds right there, though.
I already have birds there.
Okay, well, they're too slow. Make them get over here faster.
Okay, do we want sparrows, or do we want, like, freaking swallowtail?
No, geese, because they're bigger. You can see them further away.
Why not an albatross?
No. Why? Geese have, like, a more aesthetically pleasing silhouette on the backdrop of the gold.
Okay, wouldn't a goose and a swan be in the same category, then?
Swans don't migrate like that.
They don't?
No, not really.
Do swans fly?
Yes.
They do?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, that's something I'm glad
but
to know.
But geese migrate. So there would be, it would make sense, and it would be completely logical why they would be going north or south against the sunset.
Okay, can we talk about the birds, though, being fearless? They already know.
Yeah.
They already know. What time is it? It's time to go south.
They just get up and fly.
They don't ask questions. They're not freaking out whether or not
there's
going to be...
And their brains are, like, this big, and they're smarter than we are.
Make that make sense. Imagine being slightly derpier than a bird.
Or a fish.
Or a fish. There's this verse, and I think it's Jaira. I think it's Jaira, right? Yeah. If he dresses the lilies in beauty and splendor, how much more does he love you?
How much more will he clothe you?
I always do that. How much more will he clothe you? And if he watches over every sparrow.
How much more does he love you? And that's a verse in the Bible, but we can't comprehend that because that would be giving up power. That would be giving up the power that fear has over us. To just be like, you know what? If he dresses the lilies and makes sure that lilies don't go extinct,
you know,
that every spring there's a super bloom, because we're in California, there's super blooms every spring. Those seeds die and go in the ground and rot and then are reborn and are amazing and gorgeous in all their glory, and then they do that. How much more will he clothe you? If he makes sure that these little things that are completely meaningless to us, that we completely bypass all the time. There are people who just drive past a super bloom and don't even stop.
I still get astonished with, like, the sky and
I
the mountains.
Right? No, I walk out of work and it's, like, it's 5 o'clock and so it's sunset. I always stop for, like, at least 30 to 60 seconds and stare at it.
Every now and then, I'm lucky enough to get a picture.
Yeah. If it's super crazy beautiful, like that one day with the gold and everything.
That was so pretty.
I will take a picture. Or if he watches over every sparrow, just like we were talking about. If he makes sure that this bird is going to make it all the way south, which is insane. And then all the way back north.
Which is even more insane.
With babies, probably.
Right.
And they never go hungry. You know, some of them do lose their lives along the way. But majority of them make it.
But you don't see them just stop when one of them loses their life. They just keep going.
Yeah. They have to keep going. You keep going. Or salmon. We're in a huge salmon area.
I like fish.
Salmon are a crazy fish that are born in freshwater, travel down the river, go to the ocean and just adapt to seawater. I don't understand. That's fine. Live their lives. Then go back into the freshwater, go against the current, spawn, and then die.
Can we talk about the fact that they not only just go back to freshwater, they go back to the freshwater that they grew up in?
Yeah.
How do you remember that? How do you remember that? It's been 60 years. I'm gonna just go home right quick. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you just remember every twist and turn after 60 years going up to, like, only God knows where in Wichitucket, McKansas.
No, when it's spawning season, if I remember, because I'm terrible at remembering what season is what, I will take you to the hatchery, and you will, like, you literally can watch the salmon going against the current up the streams, like, up the river to get to where they need to go. Fearlessly. Like, and a lot of them die, because that's crazy. It's fine. Like, let's swim against them real quick. Upstream, both ways.
Like, hey, buddy, you do realize that there are sharp rocks on the bottom, right?
And some of them do lose their life, but they're fearlessly going for what they know they're supposed to be doing. Because if they don't, then they can't lay their eggs. And if they don't lay their eggs, the story doesn't continue. You see what I'm saying?
They leave home to live out their purpose. But then once they're done living out their purpose, they fight, which is part of their purpose, is to fight to get back home. Mm-hmm. They fearlessly fight to get back home. That's the same with us.
That's what we're supposed to do anyways.
We leave home, which is glory. I miss my spot. Anyway, We leave glory. We leave glory. To come down and live the purpose that God has given us. Mm-hmm. And our purpose is to fight the good fight of faith. That is our purpose. And in that fight, we are fighting to get back home fearlessly. We're supposed to be fighting fearlessly to get back home. I'm convinced that humans are fish.
But it's deeper than that. They have to fight to get back to home. Otherwise, the story stops. Like, what if... I know we're using a lot of fish analogies, but it's an amazing thing that... Salmon are freaking crazy, and they're also delicious. But... what if they got to the ocean, and they're like, ooh, it's nice and it's warmer out here. There's more room.
I'm just going to chill.
This is my home. And they didn't make that treacherous trek back home.
What would happen?
All the salmon would go extinct. If they got complacent. Or if, like, somebody was just like, man, do you know what happens when we go back in that stream?
Yeah, didn't you hear what happened to Uncle Ricky? No, what happened to Uncle Ricky? He got stibbity stabbed in the head with a rock.
How? Where? What if we just stayed in the ocean, man? What if we just got comfy here? Because I don't want to die. I don't want to continue my bloodline. I don't want to continue my legacy. I don't want to continue the survival. I don't want to go on home to glory. Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. No, here's the thing though. I want to go home to glory, but I don't want to have to like...
Work for it. I just want somebody to, like, here, let's, like, get on the back of this other animal and, like, ride him. Because they can get me there.
Riding someone's coattails.
Mm. Riding a pastor's coattails, expecting them to get you to heaven.
Their salvation is not your salvation. Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Nobody else can get you there.
That is... your fight and your fight alone.
And that's why it's a personalized relationship that you're supposed to have with God. You can't rely on anybody else to get you there. I can lead you to water. I can't make you drink.
If I make you drink, you finna drown.
Exactly.
Because unfortunately, you are not a fish. You cannot breathe underwater. And I think people forget that. It's just like, yeah, I'm a believer because my parents believed. Like, that's, ooh, I'm gonna hold both your hands when I say this, honey. That's not how that works.
Like, I love that your parents were believers and they're probably up there, but what do you believe? Because sounds like you believe in your parents.
Which is awesome and great. I love that. Like, yes, but that is not going to get you where they're going. You do not get salvation by osmosis.
You cannot photosynthesize that.
But I went to Salvation Army.
That's not
secondhand.
That is. Oh, that is not the same.
That is not accurate. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Because I hate to be the breaker of bad news, buddy, but you are going to be in a world of hurts.
You're going to be sorely disappointed.
You're going to catch a rude awakening, okay? But as much as we're laughing about it, it
happens every day.
All the time. Mm-hmm. Like, even the most devout Christians.
Oh, you're a Christian? Yeah, my parents are. What is that?
Stop. Like, okay. Let's try this again. Are you a Christian? Are you a believer? Yeah, my parents were. That's not what I said.
Calm down.
Sit down. Sit down, Agatha.
Why Agatha?
Oh no, that just seems like
Agatha.
That just seems like an Agatha thing to say. I apologize.
Anyone
if there are any Agatha that you're listening.
Apologies. So sorry.
No, but seriously, like, that is not how that works. Timothy! I apologize to any Timothys. Like, that's not how that works. But what's even more sad is the people that they, when they say I believe because my parents believe. Or, yeah, I believe because I go to church and this is my pastor. Or, yeah, I believe because my grandparents believed. It's sad because 9 times out of 10, right? Nobody taught them any different.
Well, yeah.
Nobody taught them any different.
Of course not. Why would they do that? Because then they might believe something else. They might have their own mind.
Oh, no.
They might go against the rules.
They might lose control.
They're afraid of losing control. See?
Can't have that now, can't we?
Oh my gosh.
Sorry. Ran a burst of energy. Woo! No, but seriously, in that situation, it's a sense of control. Mm-hmm. Again, it goes right back to losing control.
Pride. Fear.
The reason why it's so hard for us to surrender to the will of God is because we're scared of giving up control.
Control that doesn't belong to us to begin with, but yeah.
He gave a false
sense of control.
It's like you and Abba are playing a video game, and he gave you the controller, but you are player 2.
Yeah.
And you're over here trying to make all the decisions instead of just letting him pick your character, your character.
Hey, can you push X for me, please? I can't push X on my own. I need you to do it for me. And he's like, yes, I got you.
Yeah, I got you. Like, how many times do you want me to hit X, though? Like, Power Smash.
525,600 times.
Yo, I thought you was going to say minutes. That's okay, too.
Fear. It will kill your faith faster than anything. Even if you feel like you're devout, really start asking yourself questions. This is why I like asking questions.
Or you just like freaking people out.
No. If you really think about it, to all the times that I actually read somebody's mail, I was trying to get to the root of something.
This is true.
And 9 times out of 10, it was what?
Fear.
What are you afraid of?
Why are you afraid of that?
Mm-hmm. Who told you to be afraid of that? What happened to you to make you be afraid of that?
Why haven't you released it?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you so afraid of releasing it? I'm gonna go out and say this. Mm. I just started therapy.
No.
I just started therapy.
Well then.
What? I just started therapy. Yay! And before I started therapy, I always come to you with my problems, with something that's bothering me, like to process things. So having started therapy, I let my therapist know, I'm scared. And she's just like, why? And I said, because because my trauma made me funny. And she's just like, I promise you, you're not gonna be, you're still gonna be funny, but you're gonna be a healed funny. And I'm just like, oh, is it still gonna be funny then?
Aw, she's adorable. Aw, she's traumatized.
No, but for real. No, for real, though.
You've done a lot of healing over the past couple of years, and you're still very funny.
This is true. Thank you. Aw, funny.
Funny looking.
Anyway.
Don't start with me.
Aw.
No.
Aw.
No me gusta.
Darn. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyways, I was trying to wrap it up.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because I definitely need to get up.
You do.
I do.
My knees hurt.
Mm-hmm.
We're old.
The point is, stop being afraid. And if you are afraid of something, figure out what it is and where it came from. Who told you to be afraid of what? What taught you to be afraid of what?
Why did they tell you to be afraid of it? It's always a why.
Mm-hmm. And take it to God. Ask Him to remove that fear. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And He did not give us a spirit of fear,
but of power, love, and of a sound mind.
Exactly.
Last time I checked, freedom does not have the word fear in it.
No.
Last time I checked, I don't know if that changed within the past couple of millennia.
And there is no fear in love, which means there is no fear in God. Hey, thanks for being here. Join us next week for some more Jesus and shenanigans.
Okay, bye!